Let's take our Bibles up and let's do that with thanksgiving, shall we? We take our Bibles up and we read. You know, it wasn't that long ago. The church hardly had any Bibles. And what they had was in Latin or another language and they couldn't read it. But through the grace of God and the Protestant Reformation, printing press and all of these means, God has given us the Word in our own language. We can understand it as well because we have the Spirit within discerning what He would tell us. And this Thanksgiving, God is going to speak to us from a psalm and Psalm 116. We just sang a versification of that psalm. It starts out with a great confession of every believer, I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Here is a psalm for you, which is yours. And so may we take it upon our hearts to read as this psalm is a personal gift from God to us. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He's heard my voice and my supplications, because He's inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me and the pangs of Sheol, that would be the place of the dead. They laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I'm greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Thus far we read God's word, the word He's given to us, to speak and to praise Him by. This morning I want to meditate with you, for a few minutes on verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. There are many verses of thanksgiving in the Bible. The Bible's full of thanks. It's full of godly men and women and choirs that would render thanks to God. So you have in Psalm 100, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And you have in the New Testament, in Thessalonians, the apostles saying, give thanks to the Lord in all things and at all places, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So Old and New Testament, there's these people giving thanks, and they're to be our examples. We may follow with their lead in the life of thanks and gratitude to God. Now, I want to take a perspective here, and I'm going to make a confession here. I am taking this perspective because I saw it on a church sign. And I don't often do that. But I'm not proud enough to say, well, I can't learn anything from church signs or even bumper stickers or whatever. It wasn't because I didn't have enough sermon material, but I thought it was unique. And here's the perspective. The perspective of our Thanksgiving service today, and I hope that will stay with us. I want to ask ourselves a question. And the question is this. Having a Bible full of thankful people and knowing full well we're supposed to be thankful, It'll be said of us that at the end of this day, and at the end of maybe tomorrow, when the leftovers are all eaten, can it be said that we are truly thankful? Or is it the case that we'll only be full? You see the difference. Are we thankful? Are we going to be thankful or just full? Now I want us to follow the lead of the psalmist here. The psalmist has something to say here, and he's full of thanks. And the way he's going to show that he's not just full, but he's thankful, is by offering to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So I want to commend to your attention this example of the psalmist, and that his was a thanksgiving sacrifice. So may we follow that lead. We don't know the occasion of this psalm. It's not said either in the subheading, and there's hints that it could be this or that, or this or that person, or national thanksgiving. We don't know the occasion. Well, I think that there's always good reasons why things are left unsaid in the Bible. You know, it's the wisdom of God to say things in the Bible. All things are wisely said here. But it's also God's wisdom to leave things unsaid. And I believe what we need to remember here on this day when we come for Thanksgiving is that we don't need an occasion to give thanks to God. We don't need a day. We don't need certainly the president calling us to Thanksgiving. We just don't need it. Why? Well, because we are creatures. And as creatures, we owe our existence to God. Our very existence and our sustenance and everything here. And I hope you're reminded of that today. You have given so much and so on. Creatures simply are the recipients and the needy ones. And God has made us all not to be independent of Him, but to be creatures who are creaturely dependent and to give thanks. And do you know, children, that even the rocks and the plants and the trees and the rivers, they give thanks to God in their way simply by being creatures and following the laws that, you know, without any will of their own, without any mind, mindlessly, but they're still giving thanks to God in a way because He's created them to exist for His glory and praise and to show everybody that there's a great giver to whom we owe our existence and our sustenance every single day. Think of that? I think Thanksgiving Day is an occasion for us to remind ourselves that there's no need for an occasion because always we are God's people indebted to God, or God's creatures indebted to God for existence. But then, of course, the psalmist is more than just a creature. Now, I'm not saying that he's a god, but I am saying that he's a son of God or a woman of God, and we don't know, again, who wrote this. There's a child of God here who has every reason to give thanks to God, and this is why he's singing, and this is why he's praising God, because God has made him or her or them God's people. And there's three things about the blessings, and they're brought out in the psalm in one way or another, and in the whole of Bible in one day or another. The psalmist, as a child of God, celebrates life. He speaks here of the fact that he's going to walk in the land of the living. Life, well, what kind of life? In the land of the living, meaning it's life with God and with God's people. Life from the dead, not just earthly life, like an aardvark or whatever other creature, but as a child of God, and not as a sinner either. There's life from the death of sin. And then there's liberty, too. He speaks here of being set free, maybe from the cords of death, but he extols God for loosing his bonds. So there's life and there's liberty for this child of God. And not just an ordinary thing, an ordinary life or an ordinary freedom, but this tremendous blessing of being brought into the fellowship of God through the forgiveness of sins and through now this ability that's given to walk and to pursue holiness and holy service. So those three things, life and liberty and the pursuit of holiness, those are the rights and the blessings of children of God. That's what we celebrate. Amazing. So these things, and because this is God's word and there's only one word and one promise and one salvation and one life and liberty and pursuit of children of God, we know it's all about Jesus and about the gift of the word into the world, the word. Now, the psalmist didn't have Jesus in the flesh, but he had Jesus in the word. And Jesus in the promises, and Jesus in the pictures, and all of those offerings that were offered. So this psalm is celebrating what we celebrate on the other side of the fullness of time when Jesus came. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth through Jesus, the peacemaker, and the way, the truth, and the life. So he celebrates that. And so there's no occasion. No special occasion for him, a child of God, to be celebrating this. Because every day as a child of God, and we have this too, is reason to give thanks to God, to show our gratitude to God for life and liberty and the pursuit of holiness. Those are great gifts that we have. Now, of course, there is a special occasion here that the psalmist is celebrating, and we don't know what it is. And again, I've said that it's because we don't need an occasion. That's why the occasion isn't mentioned. But he's celebrating some great deliverance, some good thing. He's this child of God, and he's been exposed to peril. And you read of that here, and he's near death, and there's trouble and sorrow, the pains of death and the pangs of Sheol they lay hold of him. And so the psalmist here, he knows something that we don't of this predicament he was in, but he was delivered. In answer to prayer, he called upon God, and God saved him. So it was a marvelous deliverance, a good thing. And that's what we celebrate today, too, don't we? Some deliverance maybe from death. Some great gift that we've been given. Good things. We celebrate those, don't we? We celebrate and we're thankful and grateful for all the good things God gives. And that is some amazing good thing, like the psalmist is celebrating. But it also can be the little good things. The turkey on the table, or the ham, or whatever else you eat. The friends, the family, you're thankful for them, aren't you? The trees and the birds and the bees and now the fall and the colder weather even. You can be thankful for that. This change that God says is good for the earth and good for you people to remind you of the changeless God whose promise never fails. So we're reminded of the good things of God, the great deliverances that he gives to us. And in these things, you see, we're reminded that everything, as God gives good things, everything is a benefit of the main thing. It's to serve the life and the liberty and the pursuit of holiness. Do you see that? Is that how you look at life? So how do you look at the abundance of life and the freedom we have in this land? It's an occasion. It's a constant occasion and opportunity to thank God. Because, you see, from the cross, Romans 8, God now freely gives us everything. So with the things, the good things, beyond that and underneath that and with that is grace. Grace. I hope you see that in the good gifts. Grace with the gift the giver revealing himself in the gift as the God of your true life, body, and soul. But there's more. There's more. Even when God makes it difficult, when there's hardships, like the psalmist here, it wasn't a good thing that he felt when he felt under the knife or over the cliff, that, you know, that pang of death. It was a hard thing. And we go through these hard things too, don't we? This is the uniqueness of Christianity. We're still giving thanks at the end of the day. And when we lay a loved one in the grave, or when there's brokenness, when there's disability, and there's one who's paralyzed, when there's a brokenness even in the family, so that we're reminded of that on Thanksgiving Day. We're not eating with this person or that person because they're just heathen and they don't want to eat with us. Or this or that is a problem. There's a brokenness, and it's terrible. Minded of that in all things, in the home and in the hurts of life, when there's work and then Monday, no work. In the Church of Christ, we're reminded of God's goodness to us when he's good to us and gives us increase of numbers, but also he takes away some time. Now, we come together and God has added and God has taken away in our lives, in our congregational life. We're still here. And the psalmist, you see, is worked in by God at this time to give thanks, and so are we. Matters not the occasion, there's a constant, that's God. There's an unchangeable thing, that's the grace of God. There's a grace of God in the good gifts and in the taking away. And I wonder, I don't know, but I know myself and I know the rest of the Bible. I wonder if the psalmist needed this plight because his thanks wasn't as it ought to have been. And so here he was, David or whoever it was, and living in this land of the living, living as a child of God and thankful for the camels and thankful for the tent that he had and thankful for this or that. And he was getting rather thinking that he had it coming to him. Or that he had more than others, and wasn't he a fine fellow? A fine Bedouin, a fine Israelite even. Wasn't he religiously better than the other guy who didn't have two tents and 20 camels? You wonder, because that's what happens to us, doesn't it? We have so much. As Christians in this land, we're so blessed, as we say, with good things. And it's not like in the Depression when you had to eke out a living. We have just so much, and the stores are full, and the deals are affordable, and all of this stuff. And no one needs to go hungry in America, really. And we can get smug, can't we? We can get so that we're full, but not thankful. The psalmist, somehow, he needed to be delivered again and again. And for some reason, our unbelief, and because the world gets so into us, we're more full of the world than of the Word. God sends something to remind us to give thanks and to live the thankful life more than we did. There's something to learn here. And it's all about this sacrifice of thanksgiving. We could have gone to another text and pondered that, Old Testament or New Testament. There's hundreds of them. Could have really, do you know what the beauty of the Bible gospel is? You can go anywhere there and you'll learn there from that word that God wants you to be thankful. anywhere. That's the theme of the Bible. It's one way of looking at the Bible. Read your Bible like that. The disciples are called by Jesus, New Testament. Well, you learn something of thankfulness there. God uses people like disciples to bring the word. Oh, yes, and my minister's there, and he's just as weak as Peter is. And, oh, yeah, he uses disciples. He uses ministers. And on you can go. Every part of the Bible is written to make us full of thanks. Think of that. And this one, too. When the psalmist here says he would offer to God, Jehovah, the Lord God, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he is referring to what in the Hebrew is called the Todah. You learn Hebrew here and Greek. The Todah. That with the Yada were the amazing praise and thank offerings that were given to God. And the words are related, Yada. Yada is literally a hand. And Yada sacrifices and praises were meant to communicate themselves in the body. That might be why in some churches, you know, people raise their hands when they're singing and they're praising God. I'm not saying that's wrong. Not saying that's right. I am saying it is not required. What is required, however, is that somehow we express our praise and thanks to God. The Hebrew way, they had the hand right there. You raise the hands, you praise. You're so overwhelmed with thanks, something's gonna come out. And there's an expression of thankfulness, as it should be among us. More on that presently. But the Todah, that was a thank offering, really, or a peace offering. That was the general heading of a Todah. And it was, in particular, the thank offering. I will sacrifice or offer to God the sacrifice of Todah. And it was a special category in Israel of offerings. There were burnt offerings and sin offerings, and there were peace offerings, and the subset of that was thank offerings. And oftentimes it would be given at the occasion of some remarkable deliverance, unexpected and undeserved, as here in Psalm 116, which has been called a Todah Psalm. Well, there's different offerings that were offered. One could offer this a Todah offering, maybe a lamb, and give that to the priest, and the priest would eat part of that, and the blood would be sprinkled, and there would be the forgiveness that's symbolized there in that offering, like all of the offerings. But then there'd be grain and wheat, and there'd be bread, and there'd be wine that was also accompanying the offering, because the person was overwhelmed and wanted his family and his friends to share in the offering and in the thanks for some great and unexpected and undeserved deliverance. And surely the psalmist at this occasion, when he celebrates life from the dead, had great reason to offer a Todah. Now, how does this communicate to us? We don't need lambs and bulls and goats, but we have Jesus. And that I want to bring right out to your attention here is what the Todah, the thank offering, was all about. I find a hint of this, that the thank offering was all about thanking God for a mediator and Messiah. I find that at what may very well be the occasion for the whole classification of Psalms, Todah Psalms in the Bible, and that is the bringing up of the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. I'm thinking of 1 Chronicles 16. You can take your Bibles and read with me in that. I'm just not going to dwell on this, but this was the occasion where the Ark of the Covenant of God was brought into Jerusalem by David. David was wanting to honor God, and what better way than to honor that Ark by giving it a rightful place in the center of the community of the people of God. The ark had been stolen by the Philistines, and the ark had been here and there and everywhere, but now it belonged to be in the city of God in Jerusalem. And so they brought it up. Remember that occasion? There was dancing, holy dancing, and there was this tremendous celebration at that time. And they brought up the ark of God. And people of God, let's remember the typology here. The ark of God, that box, not the boat, Noah's ark, but the box, was full of holy things like the law and Aaron's rod that budded and the pot of manna. On the top of the ark, the mercy seat. And the high priest once a year would sprinkle the blood of atonement on that. And the ark itself, when it's put in the temple, would be as the throne of God, the God of judgment and of kingliness and of mercy. And so the ark was really a picture of God with us in Jesus. And the New Testament brings this out. You can go into this if you have questions about this. Trust the Word of God. The ark here is symbolic of Jesus, God with the people in the Messiah to come. Now, the humiliation of the ark even is a picture of the humiliation of Jesus. And when the ark is brought into the holy place, that's a picture of the great exaltation of Jesus, and that God himself and Jesus, as he offered the offering, is now resurrected and ascended to heaven. The ark going up to the Mount of Jerusalem is a picture of Jesus himself to the right hand of God. Come to share the glory of the Father in felicity and bliss and exaltation once again. Now, that's the occasion in David's history and the history of Israel of the Todah. The celebration of that great thing, and the greatest thing of all things, the exaltation of God in the midst, the God who was with them. Note here, they brought the ark, chapter 16, 1 Chronicles 1. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. Now verse 4. And he appointed some of the Levites at this time to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, that's Todah, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Then verse 7. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren, to the priests, to the singers, to thank the Lord. You see, it seems like there was this holy, almost cataclysmic shift in the perspective of the people when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the centrality that it deserved and the glory that it deserved. And it led them to remember to give thanks. It led them to change the liturgy from just atonement now to thanks for atonement, to this necessary response of the people of God who know something of God with them, once humiliated, once under the wrath of God, and now exalted, and still the God with us, who's up there and is coming once again to be our God. So they're appointed to give thanks to the Lord, and they sing, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name, at the hearts of those who rejoice, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. That's all going on here, Psalm 116, because the Todah was a sacred way of responding to God. The offering of thanks, centered in thanks for life in Messiah. Life in God with them. Yes, in a box, that's humiliating enough. But God with them in a man, Jesus, like us in all things except for sin. That's the gospel here. The Todah, for the God who's with us that way. God is with us on a cross. God who's with us. And now he knows your pain too. In all things, our high priest. He's our God and our Savior. And so we ought to give him todah. Todah. Amazing. We so have it wrong often, don't we? Our perspective is not of that great blessing. We think we need more of the good things and less of the bad things of life, and we're not happy, are we? And God says, but I've given you my Son. And don't you see in all the things that you're given and all the things that are taken away, I want to work faith in you. I want to bless your home. I want to bless you. We're anxious about this and that and this problem and that. And you know, anxiety is usually about nothing because, and that's literal, because our anxiety is about the future. But the future hasn't happened. Therefore, worry is about nothing. Right? Future hasn't happened. But God is now, and God is with you. In Jesus, in all things working to lead you to him, to bind you in love to him. Beautiful. Oh, what needless pain we suffer because of our unbelief. Oh, and we might be full, but we're not thankful. But here it is. Here's the way. Here's the way. And note what the psalmist does here. He would offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He'd offer the todah. And he'd call upon the name of the Lord. That's the second part of the verse. Meaning, his offering is going to be about prayer and prayerfulness and trust. It's all throughout the psalm. With the offering and with the psalm, there's a man who prays. This psalm is a prayer, but it's a prayer in which a prayer is revealed. And doesn't our catechism say the chief part of thankfulness is prayer? Prayer. Communication with God. Letting our requests be made known to him, but also receiving what he would say to us and what he would inform us of in his word so that our thanks can be informed and even reformed. Thanks to God. And so, offering the todah, being Christ-centered, is being in his word, isn't it? It's being in his word and worshiping God. This is all about a man who's worshiping God. And he's going to pay his vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, and in the midst of Jerusalem. His, you see, will be a church thanks because it's a Christ thanks. Christ is a church. He is a body, and they meet together. And they're thankful together for each and every one. And for the ministry, and the minister, and the elders, and the deacon, and for the unlovable. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanks, he says. And notice here, this is really sacrificial. It's a sacrifice to offer this. Guess they had to pay money for the lamb that was given and also for the wine and the bread and so on. But it's meant to represent, you know, a life. As he says in the midst here, truly, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm the servant and the son of your maidservant. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I'm a servant who is the son of your maidservant, except I think it means that I'm really low. I'm not just a servant way up there, but I'm a son of a maidservant who isn't much, but here I am. I polish the silverware. I do something that's not with notice, but I'm a servant. And so, knowing the Savior, I'm a servant of the Savior of his God. And my thanksgiving is not, therefore, about what's in it for me. It's about What can I give? What can I give? How can I give sacrificially? Well, you know what the psalmist is giving. He says in the middle of this psalm, and this is worthy of about 100 sermons, but I believe, therefore have I spoken. He's a believer. You know what happens when you believe, and if you're a true believer, you sacrifice everything. Like your sight, you give up your eyes for Jesus. Here's why. As believers, we walk no longer by sight, but by faith. And while we're at it, let's remember that we give up our legs. Because now we're not walking in the direction we want to walk by nature. We walk in the land of the living. We walk in the light of the Word. And we don't dare go where the Word doesn't shed its light. And not, I'm not talking just about houses of ill repute, but we're talking about the positive. We walk in the way of God and of holiness. And so we give up our desires, too. As believers, it's not our will that matters, it's God's will. So all of our desires. And shall we just say here that this is all about the love that the psalmist expresses? Psalm 116, verse 1, the very first word, I love the Lord. I breathe after him. I love the Lord as the Lord loves himself in the Father and Son communion of the Holy Ghost, and they're breathing after one another with passionate desires, if we can say that as humans. God's love is in my heart. He so loved me in Jesus Christ, and he's given and he's taken away in love for me and for us and for our homes covenanted with by God. I'm now going to love him back. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Love to God. It's the generation of the thankful heart, the engine, the energy, the love of God shed abroad. So it's not a legalistic thing. Do this or you're going to get crushed. Though that's a warning, we're called to give thanks. How terrible if we don't give thanks. That's what Paul says is the plight of the heathen. They love the gift more than the giver. Don't do that. But ours is so much more positive. God loves us, and therefore we love to love God and to show thanks and to offer the Todah, our praise and thanks to God in Jesus, God's ark, his son, raised to his right hand. Well, finally, just want to point out to you, there's blessings in this. Oh, there's blessings. The thankful people is a blessed people. Surely is. But one thing, you know what a thankful heart does? And maybe you're needing this right at this point here. I'm coming here and you don't look that way, but maybe you are that way. Grumpy. Do you know an old curmudgeon of an uncle or a grandfather who's kind of grumpy? I pray that I don't get grumpy as I grow older. I had an elder in a former church. He vowed, I'm not going to be grumpy, because my dad was. And you know what got the dad down, the dad of this elder? And this is a 70-year-old man talking to us. Good man. Hands as big as a tree. Heart bigger than that. And he said, Domini, minister, young guy, I'm joyful and cheerful because I see how bitterness, church bitterness even, can get to you. I'm not going to let it get to me. Not going to get it let it get to me. Why? Because Jesus is in my heart. Life can get you down. Sin, too. Ephesians 5. You want to know how to drive out sin in your life and truly to be thankful? By the way, you can't offer the Todah if you're holding on to sin. Ephesians 5:3, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. Now, all of it, Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness. How you doing? Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. But what is fitting? Ephesians 5:4. Rather, giving of thanks. All these things, when they're in our lives, and to the degree they're in our lives, they crowd out what ought to be there, and it's thanks. They fill our lives. They fill our hearts. We're filled with sin. God says, be filled with thanks. You see? We can be filled with the world. You know, all the stuff and all the turkey and all the this and that and the other thing. And we can be preoccupied by the world and not taken up and meditating upon the Word of God. And that's one way that we can really have a problem, isn't it? Filled with sin, but filled with the world. And the devil's greatest deception in the 21st century. You know what that is, don't you? I've mentioned it before. It's all the internet and the gizmos and the whizmos. All the stuff of the world that's entertaining, that's mindless, and that helps you cope. The greatest drug of the devil. All the games people are playing. I want to commend to your attention that the psalmist, when he said, and resolved to offer the Todah, he was not distracted by what was on his smartphone. He wasn't texting while he was writing the psalm. We can be diverted and distracted by the world. Well, here's the way to improve thanks. Love the Lord. Hate the world. Put on Christ. Put off the old man. That's the way. Together. And you see, it's no gimmick. Pray for forgiveness of all of your thanklessness, and I must pray for forgiveness for mine. You see, it's easy to be full in this day and age, but not thankful. Be thankful. Come, ye thankful people of God. Hasn't God given you Jesus? Isn't it true what he says in his word? No matter what the world is saying, isn't what God says in his word true and enough and exhilarating and exciting and deep and wide and broad and high, so that our life is given in this other dimension, this glory now? Isn't that true? True. And also for you. Come ye thankful, people come. Not just full, but thankful. Amen. We thank you, Lord, with hearts full of love, that you love us and you give to us, and you are the God of our salvation and grace. Thanks for Jesus. Thanks for all things that you give to serve that life of service to him. Thanks for the great thank offering of the psalmist, an example to us of a man, of a nation, of a godly people, full and thankful to God. May we show thanks. May this congregation show thanks in the fullness of all of the blessings from heaven. And may this draw others into our midst. We together would share the blessing of thankful hearts and the great God who is worthy of our offerings and of our thanks. Amen.